Well, happy Thursday to you, and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for being at the other end of the radio waves, the telephone line, the Twitter machine, the email device, and all the ways that we have to communicate with each other. You are always welcome to be part of the conversation wherever it may lead, particularly on the phone at 414-1234, our local number. It's 800-926-8809. If long distance, perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, or you send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. You know, there are certain places in America. I'm thinking of the Research Triangle up in that Raleigh-Durham area, also along, Route 128 up around Boston. There are several other places, of course, California, that whole valley situation with the high-tech firms out there. But usually at the hub of those places, you find an institution or institutions of higher learning that are deeply involved in research. And those research universities have become the head end of this giant commercial product pipeline that we have in this country. And it generates a lot of prosperity for the communities that surround these universities. Now, here in Tallahassee, the dream for many years has been to do the same with the research done at Florida State and Florida A&M universities. And in fact, that dream has come true time and time and time again. Now, you couple that with the locally skilled workforces that are being custom trained by places like Tallahassee Community College, and it would seem a recipe for real success. And we're going to talk about that recipe here today on Perspectives. And again, we invite you to be part of that too. So let's go around and meet the panel and say hi first to Dr. Gary Ostrander, Vice President for Research at Florida State University and inveterate runner. 5 miles this morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Oh, my Lord. I'm tired just looking at you, Gary. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. We also have your opposite number from Florida A&M University, Dr. Timothy E. Moore. Dr. Tim, thanks for coming
Thank
in today.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the time today.
We also have from FSU, the Office of Commercialization Program Consultant for SAME, Larry Lynch. Good to see you, Larry.
Good morning, Thomas.
It is wonderful to see you, as it is to see Kimberly Moore, Vice President for Workforce Innovation at Tallahassee Community College.
Good morning.
It is so good to see you folks. Let's get a little primer, if we could. God, we're back in the classroom again. I can feel it coming on here. Of just how the whole research situation works at our two universities. And Dr. Gary, if we can start with you. People hear, because of a massive $200 million research series of grants from all over the place, FSU is doing all these wonderful things. Who gives you guys that money, and how does that work?
Good question. Both at the universities here in town, the way it works is our faculty are the key. The faculty have expertise in different areas, whether it's physics or agriculture, and they write proposals primarily to the federal government, the National Science Foundation, the National Institutes of Health, but the list is fairly long, Department of Education, the military, just all kinds of federal agencies. State agencies also support our research, as do private foundations. Faculty members will write a proposal around their area of expertise, their area of interest. If it's deemed appropriate and competitive, they will receive funding. It's a very, very competitive environment. It's not unusual for the failure rate on proposals to be 80, 90%. But we have very good faculty here in Tallahassee, and I think our success rate's closer to 50%. So it's still daunting odds. The money flows from the agency to the institutions, and the faculty use that money to conduct the research, usually funding graduate students along the way, technicians. Most of that money actually runs back into the Tallahassee-Leon County economy.
Okay, and I think that was, around $200 million for Florida State, wasn't it?
We had a good year last year. I think it was more like $212 million, if anyone's counting.
I can tell no one is. Dr. Moore, how same type of deal over at FAMU?
Absolutely. We're not at the same scale as Dr. Ostrander's operation. He has approximately two times the faculty count that we have, but we do the same thing, same process. We're also working, Tom, with industry collaborators, large and small, to be able to take some of our ideas and move into market, or in some cases help industry solve some vexing problems they have work in their manufacturing or their agricultural communities or whatnot, as the case may be. But same thing, Gary's right. Our enterprises generate in the order of this past year about $262-270 million for the, you know, in terms of awards. That translates directly into salaries. That goes back into the economy, and that helps stimulate jobs and whatnot here in the Tallahassee area. The other part that I think is really important is these programs also generate a fair amount of innovation that come out of them. Ideas, IP, intellectual property, and things of that nature that are then available for license or partnerships. And so, again, the two institutions are really kind of a source, a wellspring for these kinds of things for the community.
But the magic or the proof in the pudding, or however you want to put that, is how many of these research projects can be ultimately monetized, turned into something useful to the average person or to industry or anything else. And we talked about percentages. So I'm doing a research project on something. What are the chances that that is going to be turned into a product, a service that somebody can buy?
That's a difficult question to answer, because oftentimes the work you're doing today, the significance or the relevance of it may not appear on the horizon for a decade or longer.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly we can look at a lot of research projects that are happening at any of the institutions here in town and point to some, maybe 5%, 7%, that immediately we can generate patents on them and potentially generate licenses or start up companies, spin up companies. But many of the discoveries, they need to incubate for a while. There's a reason that patents are good for 17 years, and sometimes it's towards the end of the patent life cycle that another company will pick it up, will be able to run with it as the rest of the technology catches up. Remember that our faculty, for the most part, are working right on the cutting edge of the discipline. They're working on the things that you don't read about in textbooks yet. It hasn't been published. They're making discoveries literally right now. And so sometimes it's hard to get the capital around that immediately to spin up a company or to spin up a product. It takes a little while.
Once there is an application, though, that becomes more apparent, more obvious, then Larry Lynch, what happens? How do you commercialize that?
Well, what you try and do is try and match somebody's problem with a solution that we might already have. And so what you have to find is companies that have issues where they could use some new technologies to solve a problem that they can't solve inside their labs. And what we try and find is something that's being developed inside our labs that can match that. Now, what that means is you've got folks who are intellectual property researchers who have probably never spoken outside other PhDs, now having to explain what they're doing to business folks. And so making that match together is where the challenge is. But once you do make the match, folks inside the labs become smarter. They're not scared to talk to commercialization people, to business people, because they realize they're all doing the same thing. And so matching those companies to those folks is where the real magic happens. And when it happens, it's pretty cool.
You know, magic also means money. And how do you make money off of this stuff? You talk about licensing and all of that. How does that work?
Well, it works in a lot of ways. One way is if we've got a product and we being FSU, or it could be FAMU, own the intellectual property, you can then license that to a company, and then they'll pay some sort of percentage of sales or of profits back to the university. Another way to do it is to start a new startup company. And as our faculty members become more entrepreneurial and more younger, that's the way a lot of them would like to go. So what they would do is then say, we have this intellectual property, we'll license it, we'll start a new startup company, we'll either manufacture something or make a product, and we own everything about it. Now, the end goal of that might be is in 2 to 5 years, that company then gets sold for a much larger percentage or a much larger big dollar deal to an existing company. And we see more and more of these startup companies coming out of IP that's being done inside our universities.
Well, once you have that pipeline done and you've got a product that is based on research that has been done and the licensing deals are all in place, and if you have a local entrepreneur that wants to take it and run with it, unless it's something really, really small, they're probably going to have a workforce. And Kimberly Moore, that's where you guys can come in.
That's where the magic happens yet again. So, yes, we would come in there. So whether it's with providing entry-level or mid-level support, training that workforce, creating that talent pipeline, our vision and how we carry out even the mission part of that. It's making sure that individuals, the businesses that start with us, that they understand that it is a progression and that we can continue to support growing that workforce for them. So even with their incumbent workers, it's not just a one-off. It really is a relationship. So it's not transactional.
Mm-hmm. Wow, but that takes you a while to determine, okay, yes. What does the business need? What kind of skill sets are going to be useful in there? And then getting those people in the pipeline to get them trained up and ready to go.
It does, but you know what? We have a great, I really do believe that we have a great ecosystem here in our community. So those conversations are happening throughout. So most often, you will already be engaged in the conversations as the company is progressing, as it's evolving. And the whole continuum of whether there's going to be a workforce there, we've already had those conversations. So we realize the support that will be needed, and we plan accordingly for it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. One thing we want to get involved in this discussion is you. If you have any questions or ideas that you would like to bring to this particular table, that is what we are asking you to do here on Our Perspectives at 414-1234, the local number, or 800-926-8809, or send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. If you're just joining us, we have Dr. Gary Ostrander, who is the Vice President of Research at Florida State University, Dr. Timothy Moore, Vice President of Research at Florida A&M, Kimberly Moore, VP of Workforce Innovation at Tallahassee Community College, and back to FSU we go, Larry Lynch, Program Consultant at the Florida State University Office of Commercialization. And we would love to hear from you right here on Perspectives. A reminder also of an event up and coming. This is Discovery on Parade. If you want to see some actual research projects in various stages of completion and some of them ready to take to market, that's coming up Thursday, March 1st, starting at 5:30 at the Turnbull Center of the Florida State University Conference Center. And you'll have folks from FAMU, FSU, and TCC there to show you some really cool stuff. We'll be right back in a few moments. Hey, we are back on Perspectives talking about research, how to take it to market, monetize it. Everyone makes lots and lots of money, but even more important, it can be such a transformative sort of thing in this community, which has been looking since time immemorial for ways to become less dependent on state government as a center of employment and diversifying that economy so it becomes less susceptible to downturns and other mean, ugly, nasty things. Back to Discovery on Parade. Let's, because you brought it up, Larry Lynch, that this is something that this community can really hang its hat on as far as having this showcase of look at all the great stuff that's going on.
You talk about having university research and intellectual property being like the tent pole holding up the tent for economic development in Tallahassee and moving away from state government or education as being the only thing. This is a great chance to see the future. We're going to have over 70 teams from FSU, FAMU, and TCC showing their wares of new drugs, of new technological, mechanical opportunities that are going to be the basis for new companies or the basis for licenses that are going to be in everybody's house in 10 years. And so it's the ninth year we've done it, the third year we've done it together. We're hoping to get upwards of 1,000 people that night. We've got a great speaker coming in. She is the head of research for DARPA. DARPA is the federal folks who are responsible for homeland safety. And they do a lot of research into really cool things. And some of that research actually is in your house already. The young lady's going to talk about they did some robotics for the military and for Homeland Safety. Well, guess what came out of that? The iRobot that vacuums under, you know, the where all the cat hair is right now in everybody's house. And because the intellectual property that the company developed was made available for them commercially, they developed that next product. And so this is good. Just the work they're doing is good for national security, but it's also good for new products that everybody is going to use. And she'll be a great speaker, Dr. Valerie Browning. So she'll be in what we're calling the main tent part of the Discovery on Parade. We'll have some entertainment. We'll have some good food. But it's really a chance to come and meet the folks that are really making this happen. Great. And it's if you haven't been, we get repeat customers every year, and it's fun for us to do it. But if you haven't been, I strongly urge you to come at 5:30 on March the 1st. It's a Thursday night. There's no basketball games going on that night. There will be no tornado warnings like there were last year, I hope. But we really would love to see our huge crowd come out and spend time with us.
Okay, and I think Dr. Tim is a great networking opportunity, too. The last year, there was a young gentleman who had – it was a fabulous development, and I'm trying to place exactly what it was, but at the time I was really, really impressed. But he said, the only thing we need is a different type of software platform right. that we can integrate with this to make so-and-so happen. And another young guy was just wandering by. He said, hey, I know a guy who's working on something like that. And they started talking, and boom.
Tom, serendipity is what's cool about all this. Again, the researchers work in their silos, as Gary has indicated. They work hard. They're innovators. They do their things. But this is an opportunity where you can kind of stop, put your wares on the table and talk about what you're doing. And, hey, look at the guy to your left or right. Sometimes there's serendipity. These two parts fit together. Sometimes there's a guy that walks through and says, I know a guy. I can find capital for you, et cetera. From the ecosystem here in Tallahassee that Kim had talked about, what's cool about this is we've got a mantra now that's going around this city, an ethos, if you will, that we want to try to spin things out and really start these companies up. You've got Domi. You've got the Jim Moran School of Entrepreneurism. Things are happening now that didn't exist 3 years ago that are really placing this community in the right position to capitalize on this. We've had $8 trillion of wealth in the stock market in the last year, year and a half, whatever it is. There's liquidity out there. The investment dollars are there. And now it's the idea of innovation, the IP, the marketplace, and then the speed to get it there. And that's what this is all about. Discovery brings all those pieces together. People that are looking to invest, people that have companies looking for technologies to acquire, and inventors that want to get their wares seen by others. And so that's what makes this thing fun.
And let's see if we can bring Reed in on the conversation. He's given us a call on line one. Hey, Reed.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
You could not be doing better, Mr. Mahoney. How are you feeling?
I am just better than a dead snake, I tell you. I heard, Tom, in your intro, you were talking about how these various programs are going to affect and have affected the entire community. And when I say entire community, or when you say that, I'm assuming you're talking about the workforce in general. So we, as you said, we won't be so relying on the state to pay the bill. Now, you know me. I don't like to be the fly in the ointment. But frankly, I've yet to see it. And I realize your guest just said, you know, 2-3 years down the road, we may. But, you know, there are people hurting now. And the fact that the stock market is booming has no effect on people who don't have a 401k or aren't invested in the stock market. That's not the economy. We've got low unemployment, but we still aren't making any money. I mean, when teachers have to work second jobs, we got a problem. How are these innovations and these new startups that we're envisioning, how are they going to help those people?
Boy, what a great question, Reed. Let's go around there and let's start with workforce.
Sure.
Kimberly Moore, if we could, on that, because I would imagine, and I bet we're going to wind up talking about Dan Foss Turbo Corps before this is all over, that most of the folks who are on that production line probably are not minimum wage workers.
They are not. And as a matter of fact, TCC has a focus on ensuring that any of the training that we are delivering does lead to not only a self-sufficient wage, but a wage that allows a person to experience the American dream. For example, any of the what I call the 12 months or less programs, we call it the career in a year, those programs are $15 at a minimum or greater. We are leaning to the greater of $30+ an hour that an individual in 12 months or less could take advantage of that. We highlight that not only for our institution but for our community. We have a website that's known as hotoccupationsnow.com. So every month we highlight those employers that are hiring, and actually it's the folks that are around the table as well, the institutions as well as private sector employers, what they're hiring for, what jobs they're looking for. So it's always the go-to place in real time. So, yeah.
Yeah, and how do we create more of those, though, by basing maybe some more of the manufacturing or the follow-up to the basic research here in this area instead of it, you know, taking off somewhere else?
Right, and I'm gonna back up just a little bit on that for the benefit of the caller to go back to what we talked about earlier. The research activity at FSU, at FAMU, are creating jobs right now. The people working in the mag lab, working in all across the city and the county, those are real jobs that the research dollars are creating. Then TCC is providing folks to our community that are trained to work in these jobs. And they are at FAMU, and they are at FSU, and they're at facilities that we have around. So we've already started. As time goes on and some of these discoveries translate into new companies and the companies grow and expand, there'll be that many more jobs.
Okay, and we're back again to that example, and we need some success stories here. That whole template that Dan Foss Turbo Corps,
right,
starting here as a relatively small company, but doing some very cutting edge product manufacturing, and that company has been just growing apace ever since it came to Tallahassee in, I believe, 2006, if I'm not mistaken.
About that time frame. And the reason that they came here was pretty simple. Yeah, they wanted to get out of Canada because it was cold. But the real reason they came here was they saw the research being done at the mag lab and other places, Advanced Air Propulsion Laboratory, that they wanted to be able to take advantage of. And they've grown their business. Last year before last, Garrington knows the story better than I do, but they're an international company, and they were looking to build their next facility for international research. And they looked at all the places around the country, and they chose Tallahassee to build their next research facility. And they've doubled the size of their plant over here. And the whole only reason was because of the research people, the research facilities, and the research minds that were sitting within 100 yards of where they are right now.
Correct.
And so they've grown their workforce 50%.
More than that.
100%,
yeah,
I guess, yeah.
Another 100 jobs, I understand. Yeah, to fill in a little bit on what Larry's saying, Dan Foss had success with some of the researchers from the universities, and they realized when they were making a decision, where do they go next? What cities do they go? And when they first came and talked to us, they were looking at seven other cities in North America. And we were able to point out and share with them the successes they had because of what we've been able to do. And that's really become a mantra for not only the expansion and the big opening we all saw last year, but now the announcement that they're going to continue to expand and they're going to continue to grow. And it's a value we add. Don't forget, in that equation, we have a College of Engineering between FAMU and FSU. It is the only College of Engineering in the country that's between a Research One university and a historically black university, and it provides a really unique student, a really unique platform.
Correct.
For places like Dan Foss and other companies, not just in Tallahassee, basically around the country.
Exactly. To piggyback on Gary's comment there, Dow Corporation, Dow just merged and acquired DuPont. out there, now a $155 billion a year company. They're in Tallahassee, and they're talking to Florida A&M and Florida State and the Joint College of Engineering for one purpose. They need their employee of the future, and they believe that we have the resources, we have the cultural and if you will, the blending between African-American females, white Americans, all coming together in an engineering science-based approach to bank their workforce of the future. Federal government's doing the same thing. To the caller's question, what are we doing to help? We're actually taking federal dollars. We have an economic development activity grant with the Department of Commerce to actually do urban as well as rural innovation entrepreneurship. And in other words, helping individuals that may not have access to university degrees or even close by, but piggybacking on our land grant extension out in the communities around Tallahassee to help these individuals identify their intellectual property, identify ways they can make money beyond the old way of doing things, and share in the American dream of starting their own company. And so I, at times, and Gary can even talk about this, the Taxol drug. That's a piece of innovation that generated well over $300 million of capital back into Tallahassee, back into the university that is now being invested and leveraged for Danfoss and other kinds of things. So these things are kind of self-propagating, Tom, and I think that's the thing that it is kind of the nuance to all of this is that ideas translate into research, research translates into intellectual property delivered into the community becomes new jobs, job sources, new companies. And so sometimes that's quick. Sometimes that takes several years, but in the end of the game, the communities that have this kind of intellectual prowess and concentration are the ones that benefit. Research Triangle Park, you have the combination of land grant in North Carolina State, Chapel Hill, and Duke, but they all decided they didn't want to lose their talent, so they created a Research Triangle Park in 1958. It's now billions of dollars. It is a magnet for things, companies to come in. And that's what we're trying to do here in our very small scale is to bring these universities and the community college together to create a soft landing zone for companies, new launches, et cetera.
Now, we don't have Leon County Commissioner Kristen Dozier here, but I know sometimes she listens. Maybe she'll jump on the phone and comment here. But the promise of Innovation Park, which, of course, encompasses a number of facilities, including the National High Magnetic Field Laboratory and several other things. FAMU has a great facility there for
thermonuclear physics.
A cold fusion may ultimately come out of that. We don't know. But how do you make that pay again so that folks like Reed say, wow, I could get a job here or there or this other place based on what is going on?
Again,
in this
I'll jump in and my colleagues can round out the conversation here. But again, the fact that Innovation Park is there, the fact that the engineering joint engineering school is there is the reason that Danfoss showed up. These things, you have to put a stick in the ground and say, this is what we're about. And if the dream is right, the vision's right, and the execution's right, then good things start to happen. And that's what you're seeing with Danfoss. They came, they sampled the water, they liked it, they've expanded. The same thing goes with our physics program. We're being driven by the Department of Energy to actually produce more individuals of color with physics degrees and so forth. They're starting off their own businesses now. So the idea, we're doing actually encryption work using various algorithms to write cybersecurity codes. So these are things that help all of us both in the overt way, commercial products, as well in the maybe not so open way in terms of ways of securing our government and our commerce.
Okay.
Gary. Expand on that a little bit. You may recall the article on the front of the Democrat a couple of weeks ago about the Magnetics Task Force. And that's ostensibly efforts to recruit or attract companies around magnet technology, which makes a lot of sense since we're the world leader in that area. But I'd like to remind folks that we're already collaborating in meaningful ways with companies like Boeing and Honda and Microsoft, and there's plenty of other Fortune 100 companies that we're talking to, visiting us, and it's out of those relationships that we're going to be able to expand. Specifically, one of the projects that was discussed in that article, and there's some of our renderings, is we're looking to put in into the Innovation Park an interdisciplinary research and commercialization center, and that will be funded jointly between the state and between the Research Foundation at Florida State, which, as Tim has indicated, certainly benefited from the Taxol revenues. That building will be a place for interdisciplinary teams to come together and work, engineers from the Joint College, folks from arts and sciences, you know, anybody that's appropriate on relevant real-world projects. But there's also going to be a space in there that if a company wants to come and partner with us. So, for example, at the Mag Lab, we're developing technology that will be in the MRI machines that Siemens and GE and others will be using in 10 to 20 years from now. Wouldn't it make sense to provide a place where some of their engineers, some of their scientists can come, can partner, can work? And what we anticipate will come out of that is they'll be looking at the Danfoss example. They'll be talking to Ricardo, the CEO. They'll see what's activity out there. And there's still a lot of green land out there.
Yes.
And then maybe they can put a facility and put a place. A lot of the, as everybody knows, a lot of these multinational corporations have 70, 80, 90 sites around the world. So putting in a small operation in Tallahassee, we're not talking about moving corporate headquarters. We're putting in a small operation potentially to focus on the work that we're doing at one of our centers or one of our institutes.
Yeah, and as we reach out to companies like that that we think would have a need for the technology and the people, they may not even know we exist. And so what we're reaching out and we're saying, give us your, we don't want your money. We want your problems. We want you, bring your problems to us and let us help you solve them. And then if we have some positive effects there and positive things that have happened, they'll do the next one. And like Gary said, they'll put two people on the ground. And maybe in 2 years, they put five people on the ground. And in 5 years, maybe there's 30 engineers working with the Mag Lab or with the Air Propulsion Lab. And then other companies see that and they go, hey, something's going on good in Tallahassee. Let's go figure it out. Maybe they can help us too. But we got to do more of those. And it's we don't do that research just for research sake. We do that research to solve real world problems.
And eventually you hit that magic critical mass where this becomes more of a self-sustaining thing. You don't have to work so hard to make this continue.
Yeah, but you got to find the folks who are willing to be the first to come in and see what they can pull out of and tell others what they're doing. And Ricardo obviously is one of the first, if not the biggest first. And so he does tell people, hey, we've done a lot of things because of our relationship with the Mag Lab and with Air Propulsion and with the two universities. And so we just need to get that message out to the right folks.
Turning university research into products, services, opportunities, jobs, economic development. That's the pipeline we're chatting about here on WFSU's Perspectives. You're always welcome to be a part of it at 414-1234, 800-926-8809, perspectives@wfsu.org, and we'll be right back. Back on Perspectives, and a fond farewell to Vice President of Workforce Innovation of Tallahassee Community College, Kimberly Moore. She snuck out on us here while we were chatting. That's what you get for being a big deal with the Office of Economic Vitality. She had another place to be. Kim, thanks so much for being part of the program. We'll have you back on real soon. Hey, a reminder, too, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. Just go to our new and improved, we hope, more user-friendly website. There's certainly more things on it nowadays. Go to the radio tab, pull down programs, and then click Perspectives. We archive past shows, try to have the most recent one up within 24 hours after it actually airs, but then you can go back and listen to it again and again if you would like to do that. So anyway, talking to Dr. Gary Ostrander, Dr. Tim Moore, and Larry Lynch about economic development and, again, building that critical mass. Dr. Tim, you were just saying something really, really great in that as and I know Reed was really anxious. Can we get like 15, 20 places that are hiring people at decent salaries within the next 2 or 3 years? As much as you'd like to see that happen, we have a longer time frame we're dealing with.
It takes time. It takes time, and because innovation takes time, it takes time. In some cases, as Larry was indicating earlier, we didn't have a robotics business per se in this country. You couldn't buy iRobot to vacuum your floors 10 or 15 years ago. It was a pipe dream in a laboratory. But now it's a full force consumer product that's out there in most homes. DARPA invented, in their earlier predecessor form, the internet, ARPANET. This is an innovation collaboration between universities, the federal government, and industry now. And Gary and I were talking about it offline here. Our businesses were almost exclusively federally driven 10, 15, 20 years ago. Now you're seeing more and more industry coming in. And the reason is we're a low-cost provider of the talent, the unique capabilities of things like the high magnetics lab, the high performance aerospace labs, and more importantly, we become the source of their employees of the future and their customers of the future, and that's where I see the greatest change for us. And so now where we're finding ourselves, we're no longer just saying bring their problems to us. They're now seeking us out to find ways to improve their workforce, improve their skill set, make their products cheaper, faster, safer, those kinds of things. And so Tom, I just see that this is a very exciting hub, but it does take time. That's the patience. Gary's indicated Danfoss came 6-7 years ago. They've doubled their workforce. Those are the kinds of stories you'd love to hear about. But I also like to see the companies that start with 2 or 3 employees. Divvy Up Sock Company that's coming out of FSU's entrepreneurial programs. Young men with an idea, and they got commerce. They go into market and they're making a name for themselves. That's what this is about.
So that's what we're seeing, Gary, as kind of the promise of the future here. Not necessarily the son of the steel mill, but a company that has 300, 400, 500 people, but the smaller little startups that are multiplying all over the place.
I think we're actually moving on multiple fronts at the same time. So we have the small startups. Some are coming from our students. We're partnering with Domi, obviously, both of the universities are. Some are maybe a single faculty member with an idea seeking some capital. Others are the efforts of the community to attract companies, whether it's to go after an Amazon or to attract a part of a major company. And I will go back also to the partnerships we have with major corporations. There's opportunities there. So we're going to pursue all the different fronts at the same time, and at varying points as we go forward, those will start to materialize. But I don't think Tim or I or Larry would even bet on which one's going to hit next.
That's correct.
And the cool thing about when you actually start a company in a Tallahassee, they ain't ever going to go anywhere. A lot of these larger companies are being courted to go someplace, and they've got thousands of employees. They're looking at it because they want tax breaks or they want land deals. And then 3 years later, somebody else is courting them to go somewhere else. If you start something in Tallahassee and you base it on the availability of people and resources, and as you grow, you're going to stay in Tallahassee. Those roots go really, really deep. And we want more and more of those companies. Now, we're going to go after those big opportunities too, because those are home run hitters. But if we have what we call singles and doubles and hit lots more singles and doubles, pretty soon we'll be scoring a lot of runs.
What about the economics of locating in a place like Tallahassee, Florida, rather than Paramus, New Jersey, let's say?
Well, what I like to tell folks or point out is that our cost of living is relatively low. We have a very desirable climate. We're actually close to all kinds of major cities. And for those that have an international focus, you got a 35-minute flight up to Atlanta, and you can go anywhere in the world from the world's largest airport. We don't have a state income tax. So there's a lot of compelling reasons when you say, well, what about New Jersey? What about California? What about Seattle? And it's an opportunity for folks to get in on the ground floor before all the land gets real expensive and before everything gets real crowded, and to carve out what they need for their companies going forward.
And a better overall quality of life than you can get in many other parts of the country as well.
So. Yes, sir.
And that is increasingly more critical to a lot of companies. It's not just the tax abatements and can you give us a turnkey facility. They're looking for a place that their employees are going to feel creative and fulfilled and all those sorts of things.
And all along, we've always had folks who came out of the universities and said, if I had an opportunity that I could stay in Tallahassee, that's a good opportunity, I would take it in a heartbeat. And for years, we didn't. So we're losing them to Atlanta or to New York. Well, now we're developing some of those opportunities, or they're developing their own opportunity to stay in Tallahassee. And family's happy, and their lifestyle is better. So there's more and more of those going on every year.
Well, if you're just joining us on Perspectives, we are talking about turning research into gold, or at least economic development over both the shorter and the longer term, with Dr. Gary Ostrander, Dr. Tim Moore from FSU and Florida A&M University, respectively, and also Larry Lynch, who works over at FSU commercializing some of this stuff. And if you are just joining us, don't forget Discovery on Parade, Thursday, March 1st, starting at 5:30 at the Turnbull Center. If you want to see what, some 70?
Over 70 F-70 teams will be showing their wares. And if you want to see more about it, you can go to discoveryonparade.com.
Yeah, it's a terrific showcase because most of this stuff, is, as you said, we will see this for real maybe in 10, 15,
correct,
20 years.
Correct.
So you get a real jump on the future, things that you never even knew existed. But I love your idea there of the robotics, which we are going to see more of. Not necessarily just self-driving cars. I hear that there are a lot of transportation. CSX was talking about, again, a driverless or an engineerless train that they are working on right now, but they got some federal regulatory stuff to deal with.
A little bit of work there.
Also, the repowering, I understand, as we're looking at federal budget talks that are underway right now, the repowering of the U.S. Navy, going from the old steam turbine-driven warships to now electric, and
sure,
this area has been a big part of that from what I understand as well. Right, Gary?
Right. So at Florida State University, we have a Center for Advanced Power Systems, and we've been a leader in this area for many, many years, brings $10, $15 million a year into our local economy. And it's become very clear that industries desiring to put equipment on those ships, in terms of all running it through the power, basically what's happening with these ships is they used to have separate power plants for separate facilities, for radar, for running the ship, for propulsion, for weapons. And now what they're moving towards is one central power plant and being able to distribute the power. That's what we do at our center. That's the research that we do, and you need to be able to move power around in nanoseconds. It's becoming very clear that the Navy sees our facility here in Innovation Park is the place that everyone's going to need to go through and test all their systems. So we see that there's going to be significant growth in this area for research as well as for jobs going forward.
Yes, and thanks to the Maglab for coming up with the catapult of the future that I think was on the Gerald Ford. Some of the research from the Maglab was used to make that. We no longer have steam catapults. They are now digital and they are magnetic.
Exactly.
Okay. So I guess, guys, where do we go from here then? Just keep on keeping on, waiting for the critical mass to build? Or is this the thing that you – it's like a cake in the oven. You can't rush it. You have to cultivate it and watch it carefully with much love and care, but you can't force this along.
Right. And I think what we do is exactly what we're doing here today is we get the word out. You know, you come to Discovery on Parade, you see what's going on. We'll have folks at Discovery on Parade literally from other states that will come in. We've had that happen last year. A lot of folks from downstate. But as much as we can, getting out the word that there's some neat stuff that's happening in Tallahassee. We've already demonstrated we can be successful. We have, you know, three really strong institutions of higher education is viewed nationally. You know, FAMU, TCC, perennially ranked in the top for those institutions. FSU is climbing up in the rankings. And you think about bringing a company in here, and in terms of the education opportunities, what we can provide for their employees. And we're very flexible and we're very approachable.
Correct.
And if you need something special, we're going to figure out a way to do it for you.
Yeah, exactly. Gary, I echo everything you said. At the end of the day, what we're really about here, Tom, is taking the old way of doing business and kind of stripping that away and saying, now we're open for business. However you want to partner with us, leverage us, utilize our resources, capabilities, we need to be agile enough to handle that requirement. And I think the institutions are demonstrating that. When Kim was here earlier, talking about how we can take the knowledge of from the laboratory, it goes to the production house, and now it requires and necessitates a trained workforce to deal with the robotics for assemblage or the software code writing. Those are the things that TCC does so well. From our standpoint, we also see that the industry is trying to come in and make it a much more seamless operation between academia, the development of a new workforce of the future, as well as innovation. And so that's where I see the next jumping off point. But it's still the cake that's baking. It's going to continue to bake, and there's going to be lots of other items in the oven that are going to come along, whether that's the individual entrepreneur, the large Fortune 50 company, or something we start up here and attract somebody to come to Tallahassee.
Is there any fear as we go through, again, this back to the budget type of situation, since the federal government has been the kickstart for so many of these research projects, any trepidation there that we may see a decrease in the amount of federal money that's coming to help?
I think that's already started to happen in certain areas. It's certainly become, as Gary indicated very early on in our conversation today, very, very competitive. We're starting to see even areas of the budget that are exclusively domains of institutions like FAMU, where those dollars are becoming compressed because the federal government is having to do more with less. It's under the discretionary budget. So NIH, NSF, others are very hyper-competitive. That means that we have to be on the top of our game with regard to how we account and provide stewardship of those funds, how we report and how we conclude these projects, and how we seek new opportunities. We have to be able to collaborate. FSU and FAMU have collaborated on an NSF project for doing genomics for corn, for example. Just some really cool stuff, leveraging our land-grant capability with Gary's institution's higher-end genetics, genomics, proteomics capabilities. I think that's the future for us. So we remain hyper-competitive in this shrinking pool of capital. But the government can't do it all, and that's why we talked all today about jobs and working with industry.
The neat thing about, for all the reasons that you would attract a company or you would tell a company it's desirable to come here, that's the same thing I tell the faculty. And we are able to continue to recruit. We've got great faculty at the institutions already. I mean, there's no question about that. But we're continuing to recruit very, very good folks who are saying, hey, it's a quality of life issue. Do I want to live in Tallahassee, reasonable cost of living, 40 minutes from water? Or do I want to live and take an hour commute into the D.C. area or into Boston or into California? And all of those reasons are applying, and we're getting some really good faculty moving into this community now.
And I guess you are getting the word out to some other folks who are very important in this whole equation, too. We had FSU Day at the Capitol yesterday. Today is FAMU Day, Dr. Tim.
Yes, sir.
And getting in front of some of the lawmakers to say, hey, it's not just cranking out 4 or 6 year degrees or whatever else, that these institutions also need to have the flexibility to hire great faculty who can also do the research, do that heavy lifting that can bring additional, not just celebration, but also economic firepower to these
Absolutely.
Schools.
Absolutely. The state is making an investment in each of these institutions within the state university system, and they're expecting an ROI, a return on investment. And that return on investment is graduates in a reasonable period of time, low debt, but also showing that we're providing some economic stimulus back to the economy through our innovation, through our research, through our ability to be an attractant for industry. That's the value added. So we're seeing this as a mutually reciprocal kind of process. The state invests in us. We in turn help the state to grow in dimensions and ways the state may not have envisioned through innovation, through human capital, through opportunities. And so this is what we're about. I mean, we are an economic engine. That's what we have to do. And that economic engine has many, many facets to it. Research is but one.
Yeah. Do you think the lawmakers understand that, Gary?
It's hard to know sometimes. When you have a chance to sit down and talk to somebody one-on-one for 20 minutes, a half hour, they absolutely do understand it.
Correct.
But they're all really busy folks, and they've got so many people coming at them with very important issues. So we try to educate them. We invite them out. We have our open houses. And especially for the lawmakers that stay in the position for any length of time, I think they do grow to appreciate what we're doing and understand what we're doing.
Wouldn't it be cool if you could prevail upon Elon to have, one of those boosters maybe, vertically land in the Capitol courtyard and say, well, FSU and FAMU helped to make that possible, guys.
Well, it might stir up a little dust, but yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah,
it's really
important. these guys like visual aids.
Yeah,
they sure do.
Absolutely.
Folks, just a few moments remaining in our program here on research and commercialization of SAME and all that. So we'll give everyone a chance to kind of go around the table and any final thoughts that you might have. Let's start with you, Larry, because you've been quiet.
No, that's okay. One thing that Gary's very proud of, and it's the FSU Med School. And the FSU Med School is really coming of age. And when it was originally built, 18, 20 years ago, it was really for more rural docs that are going to be coming out of there. But we're now seeing an awful lot of research coming out of there, some in the drug areas and some of prevention of premature labor. And so it's really growing up, and it's becoming another great resource that we can have startup companies and licenses coming out of that we really didn't anticipate 10 years ago. So Gary predicted it, and as always, he's always right.
Well, hardly. One just has to look, though, at the national trends. When public medical schools are stood up, the primary emphasis and the case is made on the need for more docs. And certainly when you look at the Big Bend of Florida, there's a very compelling reason for creating more docs. After they've graduated 10 or so classes and they start to look at how they stand up with the other AAMC medical schools, they realize there's often a difference in terms of research activity.
Correct.
And so as the faculty that were hired to just teach, which is really important, so don't put any emphasis on the word just, we begin to bring in new faculty. We're bringing in faculty, often MD, PhDs, that have the research experience. And so we can grow the research portfolio, but more important, they're focused on research that are helping people in the Big Bend. And that's, be my final comment going forward, is that all of our research programs are maturing, they're evolving, they're changing to meet the needs and to create a better human condition. And what you saw last year at Discovery on Parade is going to be different than what you see this year at Discovery on Parade. There's literally things coming out every month around here.
Okay, and you get the last 30 seconds here,
well,
Dr. Kim.
I was just going to echo on Gary's comments there about human health. Human health is 25% of the U.S. economy, almost $5 trillion. We have to have these medical schools, pharmacy schools, nursing schools, PT, OT schools. The human condition is important. It's both for quality of life as well as for maintaining a workforce that is healthy and vibrant. At the end of the day, Discovery on Parade is going to be one of these things, Tom, that is just where people can come in and see what we're doing and sample the wares.
March 1st at the Turnbull. We'll see you guys there. Dr. Tim Moore from Florida A&M University, Dr. Gary Ostrander from Florida State, and Larry Lynch also from FSU in the commercialization. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Perspectives, produced by WFSU in Tallahassee. Technical assistance by Taylor Cox today. Lydell Rawls on the phones and internet, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, Tallahassee is the home of a unique living memorial to our deceased veterans, the Tallahassee National Cemetery. We're going to talk about it and get some insights on it next week, right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.